Chapter 6. Django wakes, slowly, sticky with sweat, but not entirely put out about it. The air is humid to the point of being wet, the body beneath him sleep warm and lax in his arms, and Django presses his nose to shoulder-length black hair, breathes out low and slow and satisfied. It's been a hell of a long time since he tumbled someone, and there's something particularly satisfying about leaving a bed partner incoherent and fucked stupid. Something even more satisfying about doing that to a Jedi who pretty much wiped the floor with a Sith war beast, too. Django hums, thinking of the fight, thinking about the clean sweep of Jon's lightsaber as it beheaded the beast. And he's not normally one to appreciate a Jedi's fancy weapon, but that was a good blow. That was a good fight. And he kisses the closest scar, the mark he left beside it. Jon's covered in his marks, skin coloring into bruises already, and it leaves Django feeling a little smug to know that Jon couldn't heal all of these marks the way he did the wounds in the fight. Deliberately, he brushes Jon's hair aside, then sets his teeth to the nape of his neck, biting down lightly. Beneath him, there's a twitch, a hitching breath, and Jon shifts. He's hemmed in by the narrowness of the bunk, though, by the weight and width of Django's body, and Django holds him in place, slides his hands down to grip Jon's hips. It makes Jon huff, just a little, and he turns his head, looking up at Django with pale eyes. The scar from the Vornskr slants across his cheekbone, up towards his hair, and Vornskrs are meant to hunt Jedi. They're supposed to kill and eat Force-sensitives. Jon barely blinked when it came for him, defeated it easily, and Django breathes in, thinks of that low, challenging, "Are you Mandalorian?" and has to breathe out through the curl of heat deep in his gut. Thinks of the way Jon clutched at him and trembled and gasped and presses his mouth against Jon's nape, biting lightly. "Good morning to you, too," Jon says, gratifyingly rough, and reaches a hand up and back, hooking his fingers around Django's thigh. When Django sucks at hard flesh in his mouth, rolling it between his teeth, Jon gasps, shivering, and Django smirks against his skin. "Best morning," he murmurs, and he's already half hard, rocks his shaft against Jon's ass slowly, teasingly. The fingers around his legs spasm tighter, and Jon tries to hitch his legs further apart but can't, trapped by the narrow bunk. "Thought you promised me breakfast rations," he manages as Django shifts his attention down an inch and sets to making another mark. If the Jedi puts his hair up, everyone who looks at him is going to know that he got fucked within an inch of his life, and Django really, really hopes he does. "What, I'm giving you more, aren't I?" Django asks, and deliberately slides his cock between Jon's thighs, bumping up against his balls. It makes Jon gasp, makes him shiver all over, and Django chuckles. The hand on his thigh slips off, turns, swats him, and the chuckle turns into a rough laugh as Django lifts his head. "You weren't complaining about what I gave you last night, Jedi," he says, and rocks forward. Jon's hard too. Django slides his cock against Jon's, small, short thrusts that have Jon squirming. And Django reaches out, sliding a hand under the pillow and then the mattress to find the tube of slick he hides there. There's a low, ragged sound, too breathless for a whine. It makes Django press in a little tighter, hold Jon down just a little more with the weight of his body, and Jon settles with a shiver. "Not too much," he says, rough. "I can't, not yet." That "yet" is promising. Django's fond of seeing how much a partner can take, pushing them right up to the edge of too much. And if he can corner John somewhere with an actual bed, somewhere with Boba thoroughly distracted and out of the way, he wants to try it with John. Maybe toys, or maybe just tying him up and seeing how many times he can wring an orgasm out of him before he passes out. John was down for getting fucked while he was soft and oversensitive last night. Maybe he'll be up for taking that a little further. For now, though, Django is still sleep-lazy and impatient. Wants the heat of John's body around his cock, those little sounds he made when Django fingered him last night. With a grunt, he pushes up on one elbow, fumbling with the tube, and asked, "Good for me to fuck you?" There's a soft, desperate sound, and John pulls at his thigh. "Yes," he says, quick. "Please." "So polite, Jedi," Django says, like it doesn't kick somewhere deep in his chest to hear this man beg for him. He gets the tube open, but squeezes too hard, practically dumps it right on John's ass. Even so, John jerks, shivers, and Django grins, leans over him, tangling his fingers in dark hair to pin John's head in place, and says, "How many fingers do you want?" "Bastard," John breathes and closes his eyes, turns his head, shifting enough to get an arm beneath himself, but doesn't try to move. Just lies there as Django rubs a finger around his slick hole, teasing at it, dipping in, and then groans. "Django!" "How many, Jedi?" Django says mercilessly, and John hisses at him, but hitches his hips up, spreads his legs as much as he can. "3, he says finally. "I can take 3, please." Django gives him 2, because he's not that much of a bastard. He smears the lube into him, presses it into his hole until John is shaking, twitching, and thinks of sliding something big and hefty into John. Maybe a thick plug, and then rolling him over and making him sit squarely on it, riding him long and slow, not allowing him to touch. The image is too pretty, too tempting. Django has to grit his teeth and tuck it away for another time, has to focus on the stretch and give of muscle around his fingers. Django's worked almost all of the excess lube into him, and he's shifting, squirming with it, incredibly slick around Django's fingers as he finally adds a 3. "There we go," Django breathes against his ear, and John makes a short, bitten-off sound. Smirking, Django presses his mouth right behind the shell of his ear, nips at the delicate skin there, and earns himself a hiss that makes him grin. He presses his fingers in, all the way to the knuckle, curves them down as he drags them out, and gets a high, fractured moan, a shudder. Impatient, so hard it's difficult to think straight, Django grips John's ass, spreading his cheeks and lines his cock up, presses in, feeling the muscle give easily, and John moans, low and shaky, as Django slides all the way home. "Shit," Django breathes, and has to close his eyes. John's obscenely slick, obscenely hot and tight around him, and he's shivering just a little. Small sounds that are almost muffled against the curve of his elbow, breaking from his throat. A little concerned, Django presses a hand to his ribs, braces his shoulder against the wall of the bunk, and leans down, laying a kiss on the nape of his neck. "Too sore?" he asks softly, leaving another kiss on the knobs of John's spine, on one of the marks he left earlier. Strokes gently over his side as John lies there, and keeps himself from moving with all the will he possesses. "No," John finally says, hoarse, and shifts. Django lets himself curl down, getting his arms around John again, like when they woke up, and curses the small space. "It's just a lot." It's been a while for him, Django assumes. He hums, kissing John's shoulder blade, and lets him adjust. lets him ease back down a little. Keeps kissing skin, slow and open-mouthed and messy, until the trembling fades and John sighs, turning his head. Want to sit in my lap or stay like this? There's a pause, like John's brain is taking a second to process. Then, with a groan, he closes his eyes and says, lap. The top of the bunk's tall enough to allow it, though John's going to have to be careful of his head. Django makes a sound of agreement, then shifts up on his knees, an arm around John's waist to pull him up along with him. John moves slowly, carefully, but he lets Django shift him without protest, slides back as Django settles against the wall, and moans softly, throatily as he sinks back down onto Django's cock. Django wraps his arms fully around him, stroking over his chest, and lets him sit there for a long, long moment, slick and tight around Django's cock. There we go, he manages for a minute. And the bunk is too narrow for John to get his knees on either side of Django, so he's sitting fully on Django's dick, has no leverage of his own. When he squirms, Django grins, hiding it against his shoulder, and slides a hand down past John's hard cock to run a finger around the rim of his stretched hole, teasing the edge of his own cock. Gonna ride me, Jedi? Go to hell. John rasps, tries to lift himself up, but can't, and settles again, shuddering, head tipped back. Want is a heady, pooling heat in the pit of Django's stomach, but he's in no hurry to move. Instead, he settles a little more comfortably, rubbing his hand over John's stomach and hooks his chin over his shoulder. Better? He asks, only half teasing. The jerk of John's head is assurance enough, though his throat is working, his eyes closed. John watches his face as best as he can, the lines of it sharp, arresting. He's not too pretty for a Jedi, and Django maybe appreciates that more than he should. Appreciates the spiderweb of scars, the tracery of old wounds that curl up his body, the lean muscle of him. Wrapping his arms around John, Django tugs him back until he's leaning fully against Django's chest, feels the hitching gasp he gives as Django's cock shifts. He presses another kiss to John's hair, giving it a moment, and then shifts slowly, getting one knee up and bracing his foot where the wall and bunk meet. It's not a lot of leverage, but he rolls his hips up, a small, slow thrust that drags a moan from John's throat and kisses the scar from the Vornskar again. Keeps moving, keeps that slow, rocking slide inside John's body, keeping an arm tight around him. There's no protest, not even an attempt to speed things up and finish quickly. John moves with him as much as he can, takes each thrust, the stroke of Django's hands across his scarred skin, the clutch of him around Django's cock is almost too much. But Django breathes and slides up into him as deep as he can go, again and again, until John is clutching at his arms and making sharp, breathless little noises, the heat winding higher. Django doesn't touch his cock, doesn't even try to get him off, even if he wants to feel John come when he's buried deep. Just fucks him slowly, steadily, letting his own pleasure build each time he bottoms out. Django, John manages, and his voice cracks. He clutches at Django's hands, shoves back as much as he can, and Django huffs a laugh, leaning back a little more, changing the angle. John's next sound is a fractured cry, and he shudders, jerks. John holds him more firmly, doesn't let him squirm down further, just pins John's arms to his chest and slides his cock over that same spot, never letting up the pressure. John twitches in his arms, voice breaking on a curse, and he grabs at Django's hips, pulls desperately. The bunk around them creaks and the blankets ripple. Django pauses, eyeing it, and John gasps and tugs at his wrists. Testing, Django gives another slow, rocking thrust, and smirks a little as the tube of slick goes rolling across the mattress. "My fucking you stupid Jedi?" he asks, a little too breathless to make it a convincing taunt. Slides out, then back in, never far enough to take the pressure off John's prostate, and feels his gasping shudder. John turns his head, burying his face against the side of Django's head, and he's whining, little sounds breaking from him with every breath. There's another creak of metal hit by an invisible force, and Django laughs, ragged. He's never actually seen a Jedi lose control, never seen one so overwhelmed that their power broke loose. But he likes it. He wants to make it happen again. "Django!" John says, hitching, and Django really can't breathe. He presses an open-mouthed kiss to John's cheek, then reaches down with one hand, wraps a fist around his cock, and rides John's low cry, the jerk and clench of his body. Keeps his slow thrusts, not able to manage much more, and rocks John on his cock as he strokes him. John is twisting, squirming, trying to shove up into Django's hand, but not able to manage it, and Django tightens his fist, thrusts deep, and pins John there as he twists his hand and drags it up sharply. With a choking, almost soundless cry, John comes, spilling hot across Django's hand, his own thighs. Django moans at the feel of it, at John clenching tight and desperate around his cock, and braces himself there, trying to breathe as John comes down. He wants to shove John forward, topple him back to the mattress, and fuck him with abandon. But after last night, John's probably too sensitive, too sore. With a groan, he thumps his head back against the wall, then gets his hands under John's thighs and lifts him off his cock as gently as he's able. He can come all over John's back, all over those scars. It won't take much, he thinks. But then John is shifting, twisting around in the narrow space, and he collapses down on his belly between Django's thighs. Django gasps at the first graze of his mouth, hot and lazy over his cock, and grabs John's hair instinctively. "We started something last night," John says, ragged, and kisses the base of Django's cock, just a flicker of tongue washing heat up his spine. "Can I finish it?" "Criff!" Django breathes and tangles his other hand in John's hair, too. "I'm gonna carking fuck your throat if you get your mouth on my dick right now." "Good," John says, and before Django can even process that he's got his mouth over the head, is sinking down to swallow it entirely. Django shouts, the feeling hot and wet and overwhelming. He wrenches John's head down, thrusts up, but John takes it, lets Django slide deep into his throat. Django curses, feels fingers on his balls, and hitches his hips up, letting them explore as he fucks into John's mouth. There's nothing calculated about it, nothing deliberate. He can't think, can't do anything but want and take, and John sucks on his cock, rolls his tongue against the shaft, grazes it with his teeth as it slides down his throat, and Django gasps, thumping his head back against the wall. A finger presses at his hole, and Django groans, spreads his legs as best as he can, and lets John press into him, curl his finger and stroke right over his prostate as he swallows, and it's enough. Django pins his head in place and comes, not even able to give a warning. Slowly, gently, John draws off while Django is still trying to make his brain work. He doesn't pull away, but rests his head on Django's thigh, those pale eyes staring up at him. And Django loosens his grip, strokes his fingers through dark hair, and tries to remember how to speak. "Shit, Jedi," he finally manages. And John laughs, voice fucked raw, expression at ease. Django can't resist the urge to press his thumb to that red mouth, and John kisses it, catches it between his teeth just for a moment. Stroking his hair back, Django just looks at him for a second, and then says, "You always lose control when someone fucks you?" John pauses, eyes on Django's face like he's wary of his reaction. After a few beats of not finding what he's looking for, though, he says, "Sometimes, when it's good." Django snorts, then tugs at him, and John obediently rises up, lets Django pull him between his legs, right up against him, so he can kiss him. It's slow, lazy, entirely without intent, and John makes a low, pleased sound settling against Django's chest. "You sure know how to feed my ego," he says, sliding a hand down John's back. "Hoping for a repeat, if I flatter you enough," John says, the faintest curl of his mouth. Django kisses it because he can, thinks again of sliding a plug into John, so big it's work for him to take it, and then sitting down on his cock and riding him. With a gasp, John drags his mouth away, shuddering, eyes falling closed. "Django," he says, ragged protest, and Django can't help it. He laughs, dragging John back in for another kiss. Another. "You look into other people's heads, you get what you deserve," he says mercilessly. "Like that idea?" "Too much," John says roughly, and Django snorts, sliding a hand back to curl over his ass. He's still slick inside, still stretched, and Django brushes a thumb over his hole, then pulls away. "Some other time," he promises. "That's a project that'll take a whole night, and I doubt Bobo will be distracted that long." With a huff of amusement, John sinks back on his knees, stealing one last kiss before he goes. A faint grimace crosses his face as he shifts, just a touch of discomfort, but he doesn't seem concerned about it as he asks, "Can I borrow your fresher? Think I can get the bunk open after all that banging you did?" Django counters, and chuckles at the chagrin that crosses John's face. He shoves at the panel, and after a moment it gives, sliding down. John slips out of the bunk, moving gingerly, and Django jerks his chin at the tiny fresher tucked away behind one of the weapon systems. "I'll get you a shirt," he offers, because John's is still very obviously in shreds on the decking, and John laughs a little, ducking his head to hide it. "Appreciated," he says with humor. And John watches him walk away, studying the body in the morning sunlight. He didn't get a chance to see the whole picture last night, even if he finally got to explore most of the scars. And it's a nice one, whipcord strength toned with experience. And for a moment, it's all too tempting to try and join him in the fresher, even if Django knows, intellectually, that it's even smaller than the bunk. "Later," John says over his shoulder, and Django gets a foreign, sharp flash of an image not of his own brain's making. John hitched up against a wall beneath a spray of water, Django fucking him brutally against the tile. It's so sudden it almost makes Django trip in the process of sliding out of bed, and he curses viciously, catches himself, then grabs a boot and throws it after the maddening Jedi bastard. It bounces off the edge of the fresher as John ducks inside, and Django swears he can hear John laughing as he turns the sonics on. It's not the worst thing that could happen to him. Getting laughed at by a Jedi, and that realization alone, is a hell of a surprise. John has four messages from Noel waiting for him when he checks his comm, none of which he feels even remotely prepared to deal with. There are no messages from Han, though, despite John telling him to come if he needed anything or wanted anything at all. It's not exactly comforting, and John frowns a little, rubbing his thumb against the edge of the device. He wonders, for a moment, if he should calm Han first, but maybe that's intrusive or controlling. John's never dealt with kids in any extended sort of way, and he has no idea what the rules are here. Before he can dwell on it too deeply, there's the scuff of a boot behind him, a deliberate warning. A pair of arms slide around his waist, and there's a kiss pressed to the curve of his shoulder. John can't help but lean back into the press of Django's body, even in the muggy heat, and Django hums, kissing his throat as his hands flatten over John's stomach. "Leaving?" he asks, thumb tracing over John's ribs, and John wants to turn and push him down and have him again right out in the open. "I need to check on Han," he says, hoarse, and he can feel Django smirk at the roughness of his voice. For a long moment, Django doesn't move, but then he sighs and shifts back. When John turns, a hand grabs the edge of his cloak, all he's wearing beside his pants, and Django hauls him forward, kisses him, hard but not aggressive, like he's trying to prove a point, and John feels a flicker of amusement. He curls his arms around Django's shoulders, leans into it, and deepens the kiss, eases it, settles there with Django's mouth on his, slow and careful kisses in the morning light. "Criff," Django mutters as they break apart, and his hands have slid down to John's hips, gripping tightly. He looks John over for a long moment, and it's like a tangible touch, hot enough to steal John's breath. Then, determinedly, Django closes his eyes, takes a breath, and says, "I should find whatever nest of trouble Boba's stuffed himself into." Gleefully, John observes, because from what he's seen of Boba, the sheer act of getting into trouble is half the fun. Django's sigh is aggrieved and tired, and it makes John laugh a little. Django smiles too, watching him, and then tips his head. "Found your boots?" "Eventually," John says, unbothered, and slips out of Django's hold to retrieve them and put them on. The shreds of his tunics he leaves where they died, and simply wraps himself more tightly in his cloak. He has another set he's been meaning to patch, but they'll do until he can ask Nico to get him another pair. Assuming Nico hasn't started a diplomatic incident by stabbing the Count of Serrano, which is probably a big assumption to make, honestly. When he rises to his feet, Django is watching him with a faint frown, mouth curled down. John, in the process of pulling his hood up, raises a brow at him, and Django snorts and looks away, starting down the ramp. "You said you didn't go to Coruscant," he says, as John falls into step with him. When John casts him a curious sideways look, wondering at the topic shift, he keeps his eyes fixed ahead of them and says, "Not like most Jedi." John hums, sliding his hands into his sleeves. "My master is a spy," he says, "and a scholar. She looks for the secrets of the old temples and all the lost history. I was meant to do the same thing here in the Outer Rim and unknown regions. But instead you run around hunting old Sith war beasts and adopting criminals," Django says, but it's not quite as derisive as he probably means it to be. John looks ahead of them, at where the bend of the path hides the town. "I was never a good student," he says quietly, and he knows he's a disappointment, knows what Dark Woman wanted him to be and do, but he won't leave the Outer Rim. There are too many forgotten people here, too many things he can do to help that no one else will. And maybe it doesn't make any difference in the long run, but it makes a difference to the people John saves, and he's content with that. There's a quiet grunt from beside him. "Coruscant is overrated," Django says gruffly. "Better to keep away from it." John has no idea what he would do with a place like that. Nar Shaddaa is bad enough, full of souls and suffering, and it strains John's senses every time he's there, leaves him with a headache at the feeling of being pulled in 100,000 ways at any given moment. Too many people need help, and the Force urges him towards all of them. I would like to see the main temple, he says, soft. It's not a thought he's voiced to anyone, even Noel or Faye or Nico, but true. I've heard stories, and it's meant to be home for the Jedi. There's a long, long moment of silence, and then Jango takes a rough breath. Home's wherever you make it, he says shortly. Mine was the true Mandalorians. Now it's Slave One. But John can feel the truth of what he's saying. Now it's Boba, he corrects quietly. And Jango looks away, off into the swamp. He's my legacy, he says, like that's any sort of denial. It makes John smile just a bit, but he lets the subject rest. Would it help you to know, he says softly, that the Jedi who led the attack on Galadron left the Order afterwards? For a moment, he thinks he's made a mistake. Jango is tense, and there's a fury bubbling up in him, something vicious and dark. But he marshals it, hangs on to his temper, and asks roughly, Yeah? John inclines his head, and there's a flicker of something, like certainty in his chest. This is the right thing to do, and the instinct is purely the Force bleeding through. Dooku started questioning the wisdom of the Council in the aftermath. There's a sound, raw, furious, and then a hand closes hard around John's arm. It's so sudden that John can't help his jerk, the reflexive surge of fear that cracks through his chest. He ducks, remembered motion more than actual instinct. But half an instant later, his back hits the wooden wall of the first building in town. Dooku! Jango snarls right in his face. Count Dooku was the Jedi leader on Galadron? It takes a moment for John to get his heart rate under control, to breathe through too many memories. Yes, he finally says. He was the master in charge of the strike team. Jango stares at him, flat, furious. Rage curls like a wash of a nova around him, and John can feel the crystallization of understanding, realization, wrath. Dooku, he repeats, and his next breath shudders out of his chest. John watches his face, the lines of it, the grief that rises, half choked by anger, and can't help but reach out. Yes, he repeats. Jango? Jango closes his eyes, steps forward. He practically folds into John, shuddering breaths and a fine tremor of rage as his head comes to rest on John's shoulder. And then he says, sharp-edged, Count Dooku is a fracking Sith. Of all the things John expected him to say, that doesn't even come close. What? He says. Jango lifts his head, and he's wearing a death's head grin, all teeth and violence. The criffing bastard left that out when he hired me, he says. He forgot to mention that he was the one who murdered my men, and he hired me to help kill the Jedi. All the Jedi. John loses all of his breath, all of his voice. He stares at Jango, frozen as the words slowly, slowly sink in. And Jango laughs. There's nothing of amusement in it. I'm gonna kill him, he says, too calm for the look in his eyes. If you try to stop me, I'll kill you too. But his hands are tight on John's waist, hanging on like he's about to fall through solid ground. And something turns over in John's chest. Slowly, gently, he curls his hands around Jango's broad back, pressing his fingers against the scars there, and says, Jango, he's a Sith. I'm going to help you, not stop you. The thought settles, just like that. The pull of the Force that led him to this little moon shifts away. And if John follows it, He's entirely sure it will lead him right to Dooku. "I don't need help to kill a Force user," Jango says harshly, but he's not pulling away. Instead, his hand slides up John's side, digs hard into his ribs. But it's an anchor, not an attempt to hurt. John strokes a light touch over his back, not protesting, and lets Jango find his equilibrium in the silence for a long moment. "No," John says finally, softly, into the space between them. "But hunting with a partner is more interesting than hunting alone." "Speaking from experience?" Jango asks roughly, and lifts his head, studying John's face with narrowed eyes. "I just told you I was part of a plan to murder the Jedi." "You did," John says calmly, and feels the certainty deep in his chest. "But if anyone is owed revenge for what happened on Galadron, it's you." John's mouth twists, but his gaze doesn't waver. "The Jedi gave me to the governor of Galadron, and he sold me into slavery." John freezes. For a moment, he can't even breathe, and the lash of fury is almost a surprise. His hands go tight on Jango's back, and he has to jerk his head away and close his eyes before he can lose control. Break something, break someone. For a long, long minute, he struggles with the emotion, trying not to let it overwhelm him. And then says, "Another name to add to the list, along with Dooku." A hand curls in his hair, fists tight. Jango pulls his head back just a little, and John lets him, meets his dark eyes steadily. Frowning, Jango searches his face, and then says, as if he can't believe the words, "You mean that?" "Of course," John says. And Jango laughs, rough and wrathful, and leans in. He pins John to the wall and kisses him again, brutal and furious, but there's a thread of hope rising in his chest, something as bright and sharp and angry as a bared blade. And John wraps his arms around him and doesn't let go.